Hey there, everybody. Welcome in. It's time for Three Guys Before the Game, episode number 89. Host Iowa State. Preview Oklahoma. We welcome you in. Tony Caridi along with the Senator Brad Howe and Mountaineer standout Nathan Adrian. Our podcast is brought to you by BetLucky. BetLucky makes sports betting easy. The first online betting app in the state of West Virginia lets those of you 21 years of age and older with a smartphone get in on sports wagering. And right now, a special BetLucky offer for you. If you download the app, we'll talk more about it coming up later in our podcast. A very warm greeting. I think this is a first on Three Guys. First time, for those of you that watch, first time all three of the guys have been wearing sweaters. I think this could be the first time all three have worn. It's cold, man. I mean, it's cold outside, all right?
Gotta stay warm.
Absolutely right. It was cold in your home state of Iowa, both inside and outside. Mountaineers struggled, obviously, again, falling to Iowa State by a score of 93-68. West Virginia was down by 17 points at halftime, and Iowa State outscores them by 8 in the second half. Yes, West Virginia did play better in the second half, but the hole was dug in the first 20 minutes, and now the Mountaineers find themselves at 9-12 overall, 1-7 in the conference, and Iowa State just might have the chance to be the Big 12 regular season champion. They are now 16-5, 5-3 in the league. Had they not had just two horrific losses to Baylor and Kansas State, and I know Baylor's not what you thought they were going to be. They're much better than you thought they were going to be. But if they had not lost those two, they're like in the driver's seat. Like they're going to the trophy store right now and go, yeah, I'd like the trophy to look a little bit. They're designing the rings. They'd be designing the rings if they're sitting there right now at 7-1.
They're really good. I've been saying for a couple weeks, I'm not so sure they're not the most talented team, Kansas included, 1-7. They've got seven guys that are all, like you start to go down some of those stats last night. Michael Jacobson's having a really good year for them. You hold him to 4. Talen Horton Tucker, the leading freshman scorer in the league, you hold him to single digits. You think, all right, we got a shot. You held two of their guys in check. Oh, you didn't hold the other guys in check, and you lose by 25. They've got a bunch of talent. I think they've got a real shot to win this league.
Yeah, they're definitely the most talented team in the league, I would say. Kansas isn't what they usually are, like you said, but they got a lot of guys that can step up and fill in if somebody has a bad game. Obviously, Wigginton hasn't had the year he was hoping for because of injuries, but at the same time, he came in last night and really filled it up.
They have wonderful confidence about them. You watch them warm up. You watch them out on the floor. They're smiling. They're giddy. Great body language on this team, which you get when everything's going well.
Right.
Right.
It's puppy dogs and ice cream for them right now.
I mean, they're smiling. They're up there. Right? They're throwing their practice alley-oops. They're having a good time because there's great competition on that team each and every day in practice, and guys are battling for minutes, and they're interchangeable for the most part. So, yeah, I think they're the team that wins. I saw the ESPN computer had them at 41% chance to win the league last night. Kansas was 39. And so I think, you know, barring a surprise, barring a significant injury, like if one of their key guys goes down, then maybe it's a different deal. But if they stay the way they are right now, I think they can win the thing.
And they're opposite of where West Virginia sits right now in that they have those seven guys. I mean, the question they keep asking the Iowa State coaching staff is, when is Wigginton going to break into the starting lineup? He's not even starting. Yeah. What did he have last night? 28? He's not even starting. So they've got seven guys, and they're trying to find enough shots and game action for all of them, because any of those guys can step up. West Virginia still continues to be on the other end of the spectrum where you're just looking around saying who's going to perform. Now, last night you did get a couple breakout performances. Lamont West played well, scored points. Emmett Matthews showed you some things he hasn't shown all year. Obviously wasn't enough to keep the game close, but West Virginia's just in a spot where, again, we're back to the same discussion, Tony. Who do you count on this team?
That's the important part about having a deep team is that in practice every day you have 8, 9, 10 guys that are coming in and going to compete at the best of their abilities, and that's going to make your starters better because they're worried about their minutes playing. In practice, you should be competing against each other as hard as you compete in a game because you're playing for minutes. You should come out and play as hard as you can every day, and because of that, everyone gets better, and that's not really happening on our team. I don't feel like we're competing like we should in practice.
No, that's a great point, and I've seen it before when you don't have it in any sport. When you don't have someone pushing, then you're normally just an absolute blah. And I think that's where West Virginia is at this point. Every possible combination, 12 different starting lineups, 12 different players have started, have been tried, and there is no significant competitive battle going on for minutes. And when you do get that, and you think back to WV basketball, right, when the Jayshon Pages and the Tariq Phillips were fighting for minutes and guys that were on the floor are trying to fight to stay on the floor, that's when you get an elevated level of play. And right now, that's not what's happening. I don't know where the story turns from there. That doesn't change in midseason. This is not the NBA. There's not a trading deadline. There's not an acquisition deadline. And you are what you are at this point. And it's a grind, because this is the last day of January as we record. There's still another 5 weeks and 9 games to be played. West Virginia's sitting here at 1-7 right now, so 8. They still have 10 games left in league play. And obviously, Beetle Bolden was not with WVU on this last trip. Sags has been out of the picture now since December, and you are just absolutely at a loss right now all the way around the horn. And I thought they played hard. They didn't play smart in the first half. They played hard, but they didn't play smart, and they find themselves down by 17.
I know you're playing some better teams, but the gap is just widening. You know, the first couple games of the conference season, you at least went, all right, you're losing, but you're around it. You kind of maybe have a little bit of hope there you can break through. I mean, now you're talking about getting drilled by 30 at TCU, by 17 at Tennessee, 25 last night, or 23, whatever it was, at Iowa State. The gap is widening on this team, and I think that's one of the most alarming parts of this.
I think the problem is that they've lost their motivation on something to play for. They know they're not making the NCAA tournament. At this point, you're not even making the NIT. So, I mean, they got to find something to play for, and honestly, they should all be playing for their spot on next year's team.
Yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely right. West Virginia's 9-12, and this is a team. I think that's a great point. We need to talk about that. When you reach this point and you don't have something to play for, that is the most dangerous situation. And you got to go all the way back, right? You got to go all the way back to 2001, 2002, when it was done a long time before the season was done. And you become, in a lot of ways, just kind of a shell of what you used to be or what you could be when you had your competitive spirits and you had something that you were looking for. And at this point, right, unless something happens quickly where they get a flicker of hope, to be quite honest with you, I mean, your best case scenario right now is, if you want to put a goal in front, is to say, can we make a 6 seed? That's the first thing. 6 gets you to play on Thursday at the Big 12 Conference Tournament instead of 7, 8, 9, and 10 play on Wednesday night. I mean, that's the only thing right now in front of you. And I know, I know what I just said is like a massive, massive step, but that's the only thing right now. That's the only goal right now would be, okay, here's an option.
I know. Like, to Nate's point, I wonder, I mean, does that even resonate?
No, I don't think it does.
Do they care? I mean, does anybody over there care if you're play the first day or the second day?
No.
I mean, heck, you got to try and get to 2. You're staring at this thing saying, where's the second conference win come from? Where will that be?
Could it be Saturday?
Could it be? I guess it could be, but
what are you calculating?
Slipped a no in there and then tried to change your mind.
You're on blind faith.
I know.
Because you haven't seen anything that would indicate it's coming.
Right.
You're not working closer to getting a win.
Same thing with Kansas. When they beat Kansas, no, you didn't see that coming at all, right?
You didn't.
Gotten drilled by TCU, and you come back home, and all of a sudden you beat those guys.
Yeah, and so, then you've taken 3 steps back since that game.
Yeah. The bad thing about Oklahoma is they got absolutely pistol-whipped at home on Monday night against Baylor, and they've been off all week. So they play Monday, and then they come out here on Saturday. West Virginia, obviously, Knoxville last Saturday. We go Knoxville, we go Iowa State, and then you go Oklahoma, and then you get ready to go back out on the road again on Sunday to play on Monday. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to do that kind of analysis, so is Beetle Bolden Any chance at coming back? I don't know. He was hoping to try to come back on Saturday. What role will that play? Will that be different? Oklahoma is hurting. They thought they were going to be a lot better than they are right now. And, you know, it's a frustrating time, man.
Because what do you even hang your hat on if you're Western? You're not in, are you improving in any area? Is there any single specific thing that is getting better?
It's hard to say because we're bad at something different every game. Some games we can hold them to 65 points. Some games we score 95. Some games we score 80. Some games we score 50. It's not like you can pinpoint one bad thing that we're bad at.
I'm looking at the sheet here from last night. Did they get better in turnovers? No. They had 19.
Can we stop right there for a second?
Sure.
You don't need what I'm about to give you to know that they're struggling in the turnover area. But I like this jumped out at me, and I like to cipher there, and I get into the numbers and I start seeing some things.
Oh, we know you cipher.
So West Virginia right now, you dive into the Ken Pom stuff, which, you know, I love that Ken Pom, that deep analytics stuff.
For those that don't know, Ken Pom is Ken Pomeroy. He has a basketball he's a basketball analytic guru. Some of the stuff that he offers is free. You can get that. Just go to kenpom.com. There's a higher level that costs money, and the senator, he's got no fear of money. He makes huge investments to obtain analytics. So what do you got?
Well, because you can also use Ken Pom if you like to wager on things. He's got projections that are almost matching lines. So you can just win your money back. Whatever you pay him in your subscription fee, you just win it back because betting's legal, of course, now. Yeah. So I was looking in there. One of his big factors is your turnover rate, turnover percentage. West Virginia right now sits 321st in the country offensively in that category, 321. There's only 353 schools. Worse, there's only one Power 5 school that's worse than West Virginia in turnover rate, Georgia, Tom Crean in his first year. Okay, fine. You flip over to the other side. Defensively, West Virginia is 221st in turnover rate. So here's where it starts to get alarming. Just for comparison, last year's team, 37th offensively, second defensively.
Wow.
The year before, 67th offensively, first defensively. 2016, bad offensively, 291st in the country. So they turned it over a lot.
Because Nate was out there just kicking the
ball. Just throwing the ball out of bounds.
Throwing it away.
Yeah, just throwing it away. Defensively, though, second. So you've got two problems.
That was, you just defined press Virginia.
Right. You could overcome your offensive deficiencies because the defense was elevating you. I mean, it's 321st, just one Power 5 team worse offensively in turnovers. And defensively, it's in the whatever that is, bottom 30% of the country. So again, you didn't need those numbers. You didn't need to see those stats to know that's an area that if you could pick one area to try and fix right away, you would take that one all the problems, and it's just not happening.
Last night, Iowa State shoots 50% in the first half, 60% in the second half. And they end the game, obviously, at 55%, 30 out of 55. They did not shoot threes well. They were 4 of 16, so they were off in that category. But at the foul line, it was like a printing press. They just kept churning coins at the foul line. They go 29 out of 33, 88%. And West Virginia takes 13 foul shots. The reason why Iowa State took 20 more free throws was because they have players almost to a man that can put the ball on the floor and take it to the basket. And had a couple of situations there with some technical fouls. The head coach was assessed two of those. That was four free throws. He had another situation where we had a flagrant one. That was free throws as well. So they added up, but that's the deal. So Huggs has reached his boiling point. He went from... So to boil water, it needs to be 212. It needs to be 212. 211, if you've got water going at 211, it's just steam. That's all it is steam. At 212, it starts to boil. So Huggs has been at about 209, 210, 211 here for a good long while. And last night, he took it over 212. Probably was up 225, 230. I mean, he was cooking it and got tossed. And obviously... he saw a play that he thought was a foul, and I haven't seen the clip. It probably was. He was right there watching it when it happened, but that was not the reason that he lost his noodle. It's just frustration. You could see that he's at his point where he doesn't know what to do.
Well, I think there were a lot of Mountaineer fans that probably didn't want to watch it either, just like him. He didn't want to watch it anymore. He said, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I don't think he went to get two at once, to be honest with you. You guys might disagree. I don't think sometimes you do go get that. I think he was truly, really mad that he didn't get a foul call on a Wes Harris three from the corner, and so he screamed and got the first one. And then when a coach feels that he was right in what he was complaining about and the guy still tees you, and say, most of the time a ref will go like, I know, I blew it. Go ahead, scream at me. I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to give you a tee. So then it took it to the next level when the guy teed him up. He goes, wait a second. You just didn't make that call. Now you're teeing me. That's when he went like, cuckoo, cuckoo, and off he went, water boiling. Teapot was going, shh. Well, that was what happened right there. So.
I'd do it again Saturday.
Excuse me?
If I'm him and I fall behind again, I'd do it again. Just get run. First half, fine. Whatever. Just get down again.
See how many you can rack
up. They're
not
competing. Just go.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would.
Why?
I might do it the rest of the season.
Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. What's the over-under on that?
On what?
Speaking of over-under, today's program is being brought to us by Bet Lucky, the sports betting app now available in West Virginia. Download the app if you're 21 years of age or older. If you've got a smartphone, you're in. And right now, here's the deal. Bet Lucky gives you 2x your first bet back in bonus money up to $20. When you're searching in the App Store, look for Bet Lucky. It's all one word, Bet Lucky. And select an affiliate casino, either Wheeling Island or Mardi Gras. And then when you cash out, you can transfer your money to your bank account or visit the casinos there in person to get your winnings. All games are regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. Speaking of that, this will be the first time that a Super Bowl will be played, and West Virginia's got legal sports wagering. That'll be interesting to see the activity there. Senator, you've been monitoring?
Be very interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
So here we go, Oklahoma. Can you win one for the Gipper? Can you get something going here? Huge weekend. Hugs' fish fry, 1,500 people. Jerry West is going to be on hand Friday night, fish fry, Saturday at the game. Can you some way, somehow put one together? Man, that would be huge. I know huge now, nationally it's not going to say anything, but before you have to go on the road again, it would just make everything so much easier. Because at some point, you end up feeling like the Washington Generals. Because of these road games, it's just kind of like, you know, it's Groundhog Day. You got to have something.
It's pretty tough to travel whenever you're not winning games.
Yeah. It's got to have. Were you with us when we won it? Yeah, you were there. You made the shot. Well, that night that West Virginia beat Iowa State at Iowa State.
Uh-huh. We got stuck in Ames.
We got stuck in Ames, and we had to go to Des Moines. There was no hotels. Like, people don't care. When you win.
No, it didn't matter.
Like
we'd get home eventually.
Yeah, it's like, we don't care. Whatever. We won. We don't care. Drive around all night. Driving around West Des Moines trying to find a place to stay. Who cares? You lose. It's just kind of like. And that's the mental part of it. And that's what you were saying earlier. At some point, you just kind of withdraw.
That's where you worry about this team, because it's as we said, I think, last week's show, it's not like there's three games left where you can just limp into the finish line here. You're not even at the halfway point. It will be Saturday, but you are not at the halfway point yet.
I know. All right, gold star for Emmett Matthews. Was that his coming out?
I thought he looked really good. That stretch where he had 9 in a row, three, that's his first made three of the year. I thought that stroke looked good coming off the screen. I thought he played very, very well in that little bit of stretch. So, yeah, if you're trying to pull something positive out of there, I thought he looked very good there for a stretch.
Yeah, I definitely think he's a decent player that can develop into being something good. He can definitely give us good minutes.
Yeah, and you know what? If you take a look at his numbers, last night he goes 20 minutes. He also had 3 offensive rebounds. That's good. He's around the basket. I do. I think he's a guy looking for the rest of this season. I'd give him as much tick as I possibly can.
I think so, too.
Let him go.
Well, you can tell he's skilled. He's got a lot of different basketball skills that you would like. Now, he's going to need to obviously put some weight and some size on, but yeah, I'm with you guys. Put him in there as much as you possibly can.
Derek Culver, in your opinion, playing too fast when he gets the ball?
Yeah, he's doing a better job at slowing down earlier in the year, but now people are kind of scouting him a little more. They know what he's trying to do, and I think that's kind of caused him to speed up again.
So he feels the double team coming, so he's trying to make his move quicker.
He's just trying to make his move and get a shot up as quick as he can, but he should just be patient and pass the ball. He's a capable passer whenever he slows down and makes the right decision.
Mm-hmm. So if you're
doesn't throw it too hard.
So if you're him, you wait. Ball comes in, even if it's in the middle of the lane, you're saying, okay, boom, I got the double team on me. I'm stepping around. Someone's open. I'm getting the ball out.
I mean, the best way to keep from being double teamed is be able to find the open person and throw it to them, because they're going to have to stop doubling you if you can do that.
But what's that open person have to do when you get the ball?
He has to make a shot.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if you're scouting West Virginia right now, what's the first thing that's going to jump out at you on film? What are you going to do first? You're going to try and take Culver away and say, someone else step up and beat me.
Right.
Right? So I don't know that it's a surprise that you're seeing him not put up the numbers he was in the first three games when people weren't necessarily doing that.
Yeah. What's our Issa Ahmad update for the game? We liked him against Knoxville. In Knoxville. Thought he competed last night.
Yeah, I mean, he was good. He's still just that. We talk about him like he's bad, but he's still our top two, three players. He's not a bad player. He just hasn't lived up to the expectations that you would hope he would because he's capable of being so much better.
Yeah. 11-5 last night. He made 5 out of 9 shots. I thought he competed. 3 assists. He had 2 turnovers in 26 minutes. He had 1 bad foul. His 4th foul was just a very upset. I'm mad. I just made a bad play. It was a turnover. And then he ran into him
at half court.
Like total frustration. You need him out there. He needs to be out there, not sitting on the bench with 4 fouls in a situation like that. All right. Lon Kruger comes in. The Oklahoma Sooners, they come in averaging 73 points per game on the season. That is good enough for 5th in the Big 12. Some of the other numbers on Oklahoma, they scoring defense, they are 7th in the league. They're giving up 67 points per game. Scoring margin, they've been in close games. Free throws, they don't shoot them particularly well. They're number 8 overall in the league. Field goal percentage, they're right in the middle at 44%. Field goal percentage defense, ow, they guard 2nd in the league. Teams are shooting just 39% from the field. They are the 6th best team in making threes at 34%. Defensively behind the line, 3-point defense, they are number 5. Rebounding offense, best team in the league. Number 1 rated team in offensive rebounding at 40 a game. West Virginia is 2nd, just a click below those guys. And that's kind of the deal.
So you asked about getting a win. What part of what you were just reading there, where do you look at West Virginia and say, okay, here's where you have an advantage, here's where you can attack that? There's not much that jumps out at you.
Jerry West in the crowd. Going Jerry in the crowd. I mean, that's my one. I mean, do I see anything here? No. I don't see anything here. I think Jerry's in the crowd. All right. Show's over, folks. We're trying. I mean, we're trying to find a way. We're trying to find a way. And you know what? Something will change. Not everything stays the same. Things will change. Some way, somehow, it'll be better. Just stay with us here. Today's program brought to us by Bet Lucky. Bet Lucky makes sports betting easy, the first online sports betting app in the state of West Virginia. Go to the App Store, download, whether you're an Android person or an iPhone person, Bet Lucky, all one word, either Wheeling Island or Mardi Gras. Bet Lucky, all games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. For the Senator, for Nathan, I'm Tony Caridi. Episode 88?
9.
9 is out. See ya.